Greetings, Earth explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become if you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Earth explorers, welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. We're coming to you live from Eastern Washington State, up against the Canadian border. Our AccuWindow forecast is clear, cool, lots of stars out tonight. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew, and our phone lines are going to be open all night. Give you the numbers now, and I'll try to give them to you every half hour. This is a three-hour program. We want you to stay with us because this program tonight might change your life. Toll-free, U.S. and Canada, 888-228-4494. Anywhere in Canada, also toll-free, 877-489-6350. Anywhere else on planet or off planet, if you can get to a cell phone tower, you can get to us. The number's 530-776-5154 or 5185. And those of you that are using Skype, no problem. Just reach us at BBS Radio. And PalTalk, no problem too. BBSRadio_com. We are coming to you live through the BBS Radio Network and also through the Steel Eye Media Network, courtesy of our friend Kevin Smith. The solar wind tonight is 562.1 kilometers per second, and the proton count is way down to 2.6 protons per cubic centimeter. I know lots of you are out there keeping track of that. Put that on your fridge. The sun, again, is blank, not a single spot
from solar cycle 24 in several months. We are currently inside the stream of a solar wind coming from a coronal hole facing Earth. So, you aurora watchers, be awake. A startup company backed by Liberty Global is designing an 8-satellite constellation to provide interactive broadband links globally and expects to sign initial satellite manufacturing contracts this week, according to industry officials familiar with the project. So there may be even greater internet capabilities coming. Australian koalas are dying by the thousands as a result of land clearing in the country's northeast, while millions of birds and reptiles are also perishing, conservation group Wildlife, World Wildlife Federation said Sunday. The environmental body warned that unless urgent action was taken to stop trees from being felled, some species would be pushed to the brink of extinction. It's a horrifying figure, Nick Heath of the WWF told The Wire. 2 million mammals, and that's all sorts of kangaroos, wallabies, etc. We couldn't come to an exact figure on the birds, but he says he would say it would be over 5 million. Incredible. You don't realize the koalas eat eucalyptus leaves, and when you fell the trees, their digestive system cannot eat the leaves of another tree. They're almost tree-specific. European scientists were jubilant on yesterday, after the pride of their space leap racing towards a rendezvous with a comet in 2014 enjoyed a close encounter with an asteroid. Likened to a diamond in the sky, the unmanned craft Rosetta skimmed past an asteroid called 2867 Steins late Friday in a choreographed operation 360 million kilometers, that's 225 million miles from Earth, that mission leaders admitted tested the 1 billion euro probe to the limit. The spacecraft had to perform a 180-degree flip to get the best view as the asteroid raced past at a relative speed of 30,000 kilometers per hour and used an optical navigation system to keep automatically on course. The ESA's Director of Science, David Southwood, said, "This was a very important testing of the waters. We are really far out on the frontier. We are very far away. 360 million kilometers is not just down the street." Not bad for a moving picture. Last week, we had one of the most widely published astronomers in the world today, Tom Van Flandern, on the program. We spoke of everything from black holes to the speed of gravity itself. Fascinating interview. Make sure you get back to the archives and listen in for yourself. If you're not a subscriber to X Squared Radio, just click on the subscribe button and follow the simple instructions. $250 for a month's access, and $20 for a whole year, less than the price of a cup of coffee a month. At this time, the world seems bathed in new knowledge about astral travel and out-of-body experiences. That is why we have our guest tonight. He has more than 35 years of experience as a professional dealing with this phenomenon. He has written numerous books, including Secrets of the Soul and Adventures Beyond the Body. Please welcome with me William Buhlman. How are you, William?
Oh, just great, Brooks. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. When this subject came up, I was actually doing a little research of my own, and then in popped your email. And I said, gosh, perfectly timed. I got to have William back on the program. The last time you were on, it was just amazing. I had read your book, Secrets of the Soul, and it was phenomenal. I can tell you the book wasn't big enough, though. There's just so much information out there.
Yes, there is. It's an incredible amount.
So, you've been very, very busy the past few years. You've got workshops coming up in Maine and Italy and France. So before we get into some of the deeper material, Why do you think there has been such a surge in awareness about out-of-body experiences and related subjects lately?
Well, I think people are opening up to a broader reality than just what they see. More and more people are, I think, awakening to the fact that there's other realities. And as I write about in my books, that we can prove this to ourselves. That's one of the exciting things about out-of-body exploration, is that unlike a lot of subjects where it's based on belief, this is something you can prove to yourself. You can do specific techniques and self-initiate the experience. So it's not about belief. It's not about conjecture. It's really about having the experience and then proving to yourself that these other dimensions exist and that we have the ability to enter them. And it just opens up a whole exciting new realm of exploration that's actually beyond our current knowledge of even the potential of it.
Oh, yeah. When I was getting my education in chemistry and experiencing the labs and the things that we can measure, I was so fascinated to see, you know, of course, on the very, very small world, electron microscopes and atomic force microscopy, you know, what surfaces really look like, what does a pollen particle really look like. But I think what happened was I realized that what I was seeing with my eyes and what I was hearing with my ears was a very, very small sliver of the, quote, reality around me. And I think that's what people are kind of keying in on right now, especially with Discovery Channel and History Channel and Science Channel saying, you know, gee, while you're looking at the visible realm, here's what's going on around you in infrared. And that's also a very small sliver. So, you know, tell us basically, what is an out-of-body experience?
Well, in general, it's the separation of consciousness from the body temporarily, where you can perceive another reality and you experience yourself separated from your physical reality. Many of these experiences are spontaneous, but now more than ever today, people are waking up to the fact that the experience can be self-initiated and proven to yourself. But it's what's fascinating about this whole subject is that it's been talked about since the beginning of all written texts. The Egyptians talk about, you know, the ka and the ba and the separation of the body. They have pictographs of someone essentially leaving their body. And the Peruvians talk about it, the ancient Peruvians, the ancient, almost every culture, including the Chinese, they have references to the ability of us to be able to go beyond our physical limits. And so it's a universal subject, and that, I think, is what people are beginning to connect with.
Well, the fact that we can separate from our bodies, most people don't have a problem with that because they kind of do that when they sleep. I mean, when they dream, they have experiences that obviously they can't have while they're awake because they're flying or they're swimming under the ocean or they're, you know, even experiencing, what would you call it, tragedies without actually, and surviving it, you know, without actually burning up in the fire or feeling pain, even though they can see the colors and feel the wind and hear the sounds. Is that an out-of-body experience or is that just dreaming?
Well, there is a difference. There's a fine line, I feel, in between the two in many instances. Just to go back to the beginning of this subject a little bit, and no one truly knows what a dream is. There's no videos that prove dreams, but yet we have common experiences, so we've called it a dream. But there's no, for instance, there's no objective empirical evidence, but yet people accept it as a reality. Now, there's a difference between an internal experience and what we perceive in an out-of-body experience as an exteriorization, where you feel yourself leaving your body. I think in many dreams, especially the lucid dreams, is It's a lack of consciousness that's fully available in that experience. So dreaming is essentially a step towards an out-of-body experience. And that's how I look at it. It's a progression of consciousness. Because often when people are training themselves to have conscious out-of-body experiences, they will begin to start to have lucid experiences. In other words, they become more conscious. And then they begin to build their awareness in their experiences. So there's actually, it's almost like a continuum of consciousness that we're dealing with, that we're just beginning to explore. And basically dreams are not, I don't feel that dreams are necessarily OBEs, because there's not enough conscious awareness present in the experience.
Right.
I want to clarify that, because there's a lot of, I think it's a lot of, our brains are very active, obviously, and there's a lot of information that's being processed as we sleep.
Yeah, so an OBE is more of a designed experience. We don't just go to sleep one night and 3 o'clock in the morning we find ourselves, you know, in an experience. We sit down in a chair, we relax, we meditate, whatever, and we consciously involve ourselves in going somewhere other than our living room.
Well, that's one way to do it, but based on my research of, I have a survey of over 18,000 people have participated, and there is a large percentage of people that do have spontaneous OBEs. So they are quite prevalent. But there's, for many people, the fine line distinguishing a dream, let's say, or a lucid dream and an OBE is just the amount of consciousness that's present. And the control of the experience. And that's what's critical. Because in a dream, you're an observer.
Sure, exactly.
And in an OBE, you're an active participant. You can change, you can explore, you can visit your neighbor. It's a difference between watching a movie and being an actor in the actual movie itself, or playing football and watching football. There's a dramatic difference between the two.
Oh, yeah, watching doesn't hurt. Let's see. So is there a difference between OBEs and astral travel?
There's a lot of... Actually, the astral projection was the older term. By older, I mean over the last... It's a term that originated, most people feel, in England. And... it stuck, in especially during the turn of the century, and it became part of our language. And but essentially, an out-of-body experience is the same as an astral projection. Now, granted, people can split hairs with this and say, well, you're only on the astral plane, but it's essentially the same experience. I think the term OBE has just become the more modern term for the same event for most people.
Well, there have really not been that many organized efforts at collecting this information in one place. I mean, you can go to any family reunion or any bingo parlor or bike rally for that matter, and you can contact people or talk to people who have out of body experiences or who astrally travel or who even believe that. That they can go to distant worlds or even other times and places. But to gather all this information in one place, there are very few organized people doing that. And William, you're one of them. You've been doing this for a long, long time, and you can tell the difference between somebody making it up and somebody who's really had an experience. So how does one go about accepting the fact that the spirit part of us is quite capable of doing these things?
Well, through personal experience, I think, is the best way. The powerful part of OBEs in general is that you can, it's one of the few things out there, these mysteries of the planet, and there's so many mysteries, that we can actually validate for ourselves. And that's a big, I mean, there's many books, thousands and thousands of books, and millions and millions of people are interested in aliens and alien contact, abduction, etc. But very few people will ever in their lifetime have the ability to actually verify that experience themselves. So what ends up happening is it's a belief system that becomes a part of the group consciousness. And there's nothing wrong with that. I know there's a lot of evidence, supposedly, but you know what I mean. Very few people will be, a spaceship is not going to land in your front yard and you're going to walk in. It's just not going to happen for most people. Where in an OBE, you have that ability to do some exercises and train yourself to have your own out-of-body experience and create your own, let's just say, life-changing adventure. Because that's truly what it ends up being. Because it alters people's mindsets dramatically when they suddenly realize for the first time, truly realize, that they're not their physical bodies. Because most of humanity have accepted this illusion that they're basically a hunk of flesh with a 3-pound brain. And that's their self-identity. And you quickly realize after an out-of-body experience that none of that is true, that we are so much more than that. The physical body is just a vehicle of consciousness, a temporary vehicle of consciousness that we will eventually just step from, just like we do our cars. And that, but we have the ability to prove this ourselves, and that's an incredible experience for people.
I think some of the ancient masters tried to teach us this too, and for those of you that haven't read a lot of the older books that are out there, many of you have read the Bible, and even Jesus, you know, tried to explain to us that there's much more than what you see here. There's much more than just the dust and the wind and the Romans and blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. I mean, all the holy books or revered books throughout history talk about the nature of this multidimensional universe. And Jesus referred to it as many mansions.
Sure.
St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not.
Oh, yeah.
Very clearly stating exactly that. And the Bible is full of incidences where people have experienced other realms of reality. Let's face it, that's what makes it a mystical book. Revelations begins with this very simple statement that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And, you know, what does that mean? Especially in a mystical state. I know some people say it was a dream, but it could easily have meant I was out of my body. I was in the Spirit. But, you know, all the biblical texts and all of the religions make reference to experiences beyond the physical body.
Well, some people tell me they really don't know what the purpose of life is. They act lost and confused and they really can't even handle the normal daily stress of living. So how can people begin opening up to the idea that they can add experience with anything to their lives without actually having to physically perform that activity?
Well, there's a lot of people out there are reaching a point in, let's just say, the group consciousness evolution of our planet where they want answers. Let's face it. There's over 6 billion people on the planet, and the vast majority do not have a clue where they come from, where they're going, what their purpose is, and what they are. They truly don't know the basic. It's like everybody's on this 80-year journey, and they don't know the destination. You know, think how insane is this. I mean, it's like a mass insanity. People accept so little, and slowly, across the world, people are waking up that I want the answers. I want to know what happens at death. I want to know where I go. I want to know what this journey is about. And this is happening on a global basis. It isn't just in America.
Right, right. I mean, a lot of people are telling me all the time, I don't want to wait, you know, until I die for things to get better. You know, I want things to get better now. It doesn't necessarily mean I have to be rich or I have to have a different job or a different wife or, you know, live in a different house, but I want to feel better. I want to realize that there's more to this reality than just this. People tell me from time to time that this is not reality. Life is an illusion. So,
right, that's exactly what Buddha said.
Which is the real life?
Exactly. Well, a lot of people, as I mentioned, they want answers. They're tired of the same old, worn-out lines. You know, believe this, trust this, have faith in this. They want to know. And one of the exciting aspects of out-of-body exploration is that it gives you the opportunity to have your own experiences and verify and explore for yourself. You become the explorer. You no longer have to be the pawn of religions and belief systems. You no longer have to accept what you're spoon-fed. You can become an active explorer of consciousness yourself. And that's what's exciting people worldwide.
Well, explorers learn things. They discover things. And usually they discover things about themselves. And as they learn things, they begin to change. So what happens to the person who begins to understand a journey? Maybe they've had a few of them in their lives by accident, but what happens to people who learn how to do this at will, pretty much? How do they change, William?
Well, they open up to a new reality. In my book, Adventures Beyond the Body, I have a chapter devoted to this topic where I detail 24 things that occur to people, 24 shifts of consciousness that occur. But the most important is that inner need and quest for answers. They want to know. For instance, they want to know where they're going. They want to know if have they been here before? Have they had past lives? Is it just a theory or is it the truth? What happens at death? What is this next reality? Are there many different realities? Often what happens, and this is spontaneous, once you start to pursue this, you're often met by others from the other dimensions, whether it be your mother, it could be your deceased mother or father, and you're actually met and communicated with. And that alone is a shocking event because most people didn't think this was possible. And here you are, I've had this experience myself where I was literally face to face with my mother who had died. And when she died, she was an older woman, overweight. And yet when I saw her and I was out of body, she was a young woman of about 25 in vibrant health. And that's when she explained to me that everyone is young after they die. And that they revert back to their own self-conception because it's a much more subtle environment, a much more subtle structure. And thoughts mold that environment very quickly and quite elegantly. So we enter, these are many of the questions. You make a list of all the mysteries of the universe. And when you leave your body, you have an opportunity to explore each of those. Everybody has different questions. But you have an opportunity to expand your vision beyond this epidermis, because the physical world is only the thin epidermis layer of the universe. It's like the outer crust, the thin part of the apple. And once you leave your body, what was happening is you go inward into the more, let's say, the substructure of matter. And that's when it gets exciting, because you quickly find out that there isn't, this concept of heaven is quite childish. There's countless millions, billions of different realities, and they're all created by thought. And you have the ability to enter these realities in full consciousness and explore them for yourself. And this is where the exploration becomes so exciting, mind expanding. So that just opens a door.
Well, how far down the rabbit hole does it go?
No one knows. But it's as far as I can tell, it goes into infinity. I have not seen any end to it. In my 35 years, I certainly have had a lot of experiences. Many of them I can't even begin to explain, because you quickly, as you explore this, you find that we perceive form as reality. Our entire concept of reality, think of this, is based on density and form. You know this as a physicist. We're always looking for, you know, what is reality? And then you quickly find out that form, substance, all the things that we perceive as real, that's the epidermis, that's the vehicles of consciousness. That's not consciousness itself, and consciousness is what the universe truly is. So you quickly find that all things that are form-based are still the epidermis of the universe. And as you move inward in your out-of-body experiences and begin to go beyond form, that's when you get into the true realms of what is perceived as reality. And so the universe is actually the opposite of everything we've ever dreamed or imagined or been taught. Form has nothing to do with reality. And, of course, the Buddhists tapped into this in their teachings of, the world is an illusion. That's what that means when the Buddha said that. He realized at some level that all form is just a temporary vehicle of consciousness. It has no objective reality to it. It's a temporary facade, let's say, a vehicle. For instance, all of us, we're only going to be here for so many years, and then we eject this body and move on. And this goes for all living things around us. A plant, a rock, they're all just temporary. But what's important is the consciousness behind that. And that's what you begin to tap into. And you realize that there's incredible dimensions of consciousness available all around us. And that our obsession with form is what limits us in our exploration.
Well, yeah, but it's sort of like an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old watching a movie for the 15th time. There's some security in knowing that the same thing is going to happen over and over again, and they're perfectly happy with that. I mean, take something more complex. Say you're a professional baseball player and you're running in the outfield to intersect a fly ball, and you stick your glove up in the air and you feel the impact of the ball in your glove, and when you look into your glove, you expect to see a baseball, not a turtle dove. So there is reality to, even though it's temporary, there is reality in the form, but it is a very small part of the total reality.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'm not saying that physical form and matter is not real. I'm just saying that it's the temporary vehicle. A classic example is all of our bodies. Our body is a temporary vehicle of our consciousness, and that we're operating for a specific period of time in this dense reality. And at death, we simply drop this outer vehicle and move to a more subtle vehicle of consciousness that some people call the astral body, which is an ancient word for astral, meaning stars.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the whole term astral projection means, basically, it means stars, the projection of the star body. And that's because when you perceive, when you're out of body, for instance, I've had out of body experiences where I examine my own body, which is fascinating to do, by the way. You examine your own astral body, and when I examine mine, now it depends on your state of consciousness, of course, but often mine, if I'm still in the physical form, it will look like a humanoid form, but it will be in a millions of blue stars. And that's where the term astral comes from. And astral projection means, exactly that, projection of this star body. And there's a lot of misinformation about this available today.
Given the idea that we're these star bodies, we're these astral beings, a wave function that has collapsed into the particles we experience as the human body in its various frailties. You yourself have stated, and I too subscribe to the idea that, be that as it may, we have existed in mortal form at least once, and maybe thousands, maybe millions of times. For some reason, this astral being seeks out physical form, this limiting ability to interpret the universe, for its own experience.
Absolutely. The physical world, I feel, based on my experience, is essentially a training ground. It's a virtual reality, an extremely realistic virtual reality training ground. And it's a slowed down reality because of the density, where souls, consciousness, can begin to train in its own ability to create its own reality. To create reality in a dense reality like the Earth, you have to focus. It trains you to focus to be able to create. When you're out of your body, you can create I can create anything I want very quickly when I'm out of body, because the environment, my thoughts are influencing a much finer density of energy around me, which molds to my thought patterns very quickly. But once you enter matter, everything is slowed down. So it trains, all the people or souls that are entering this reality, that ability to focus, that ability to train themselves to maintain that focus to create their own physical reality, which is what everybody's doing. Everybody on the planet is creating their reality. Right. They may have different terms for it, like I'm building my life, but they're essentially using their thoughts and their physical body through actions to create their own personal reality. And it takes a lot of effort because of the density. And that's what makes it such a unique training ground.
Well, I can see the idea that it slows down relative to something. I think that the 100 years or so that we exist in physical form on this Earth is a cosmic microsecond. I mean, a billionth of a second, it's gone. So in that sense, we've expanded a microsecond to painfully last for 100 years. And now some of that 100 years can be just stunningly amazing and glorious. There are great pleasures and joys in physical life. There is the joy of loving relationships, of having children, of accomplishment, of victory. But, you know, of course, there are also the pains of illness and loss and failure, and those are part of the experience, too, and should be just as relished as, you know, chocolate ice cream. Okay, almost as much as chocolate ice cream. I see the idea of focus and the idea of this physical reality, you know, truncating the spirit being. But there are two extremes. In one sense, you have the person living on their front porch, you know, hoping for a better life. And right next door in the same neighborhood, in the same income bracket, is another person who's completely free and open and satisfied with their life because they're able to have OBEs and out-of-body experiences and astral travel and explore the universe forward and backward in time, and they feel completely fulfilled in their existence. So, you know, you can see the benefits of astral travel and out-of-body exploration. So how do we get people started doing this?
Well, the first step is to learn as much as you can about the subject. I mean, what I tried to do is to create When I was, for instance, let me go back a bit. Back in 1972, when I had my first experience, my first experience was self-initiated. And I quickly found that there was very little good, valid information that was helpful, available. A lot of it was, let's just say, had that occultic flair to it that was a little more drama than knowledge and reality to it in many cases. So you have to find the information that will help you. And of course, then you find and you select techniques or specific techniques that you... I write about 40 different techniques in my books. And the reason I do is because different people resonate to different kinds of methods. You know, one, for instance, there's visualization methods. So if you have a moment, I can share one.
Yeah,
one of the simplest methods is to basically just create three targets. I call it the target technique. I had my first out-of-body experience this way. I envisioned my mother. I was a student in at University of Maryland at the time. And I was in a very small dorm room. And I imagined three targets in my mother's living room in her home, that objects I'd made that only a mother could possibly love, but things that, for instance, a picture I had made in grade school was one of my targets. A metal ashtray I had made in metal shop is in junior high, and items like that. And every night as I was falling asleep, I pictured myself walking through my mother's home, going to these objects, seeing them, touching them, picking them up. In other words, they were my targets, and I held that visualization, that focus, as I fell to sleep. And as much as possible, I tried to hold that walk through these targets as my last conscious thought. And that's how I had, that initiated my first out-of-body experiences. Because we go where our thoughts direct. And as you're falling asleep, your body can no longer go there, but your mind does. So there's a tendency to initiate an out-of-body experience. Now for me, it took almost, I'd say over 3 weeks to have my first experience. And what happens is, now I'm talking about something that's easy to do. It's not a grueling method. It's just something as you're laying in bed, you visualize yourself walking to these top targets and touching them, being with them.
All right.
That's called the target technique. It's a very effective technique. That's one way. But there's, I also have 40 different methods that I write about in my books. Some of them are, for instance, affirmations. Now I'm out of body. You hold an affirmation as you're falling asleep. All of these techniques are easy to incorporate in your lifestyle. You know, it's not like going into a cave for 30 years. You just do it as you're falling asleep. But the key is to do it consistently every night. And that's where some people, let's just say, are a little bit lacking. They may try a technique for 2-3 nights and then they give up. The key is to do it for a month, every night, as you're falling asleep, or as you're taking a nap, which is even better. Middle of the day, you're taking a nap, you do the same technique. And when you read the techniques, most people will just from reading them, they'll realize which one is best for them. So that's the first step, is to really not only learn about the experience, but to select a technique that you're comfortable with, and then to do it every night for 30 to 60 days.
Well,
and that's the key.
I have done this for a month now. I've thought about my sister-in-law's house, or I've thought about this place I visited when I was at Mammoth Cave or in Tibet or something. And I'm going to go back there. How do they know when they're out of body or when they're just really accurately imagining?
Okay, let me clarify. Most people are not aware of this, but when you do these techniques, you don't go to that location. This is not a dream. Every time I've done the target technique and other people do the technique, what actually happens is you initiate what's commonly called the vibrational state. In other words, you begin to activate your energy body, and you begin to feel paralysis, temporary paralysis, sounds, heavy vibrations start to flow through you. 85% of people approximately have some kind of pre-OBE phenomena. And this is very important. This is one of the studies that I did over the last 15 years. 80 to 85% of people have specific energy changes as they're about to enter the OBE state. And I detail these, but generally they're called the vibrational state because they involve an energy sensation running through the body. It's an inner energy. This is very important because this shows that you're making headway. And also, there hasn't been enough study in this topic, but this is very important because many people will spontaneously begin to enter the vibrational state as they sleep, and they become terrified because their body will, they'll feel disconnected from their body, which of course is exactly what an OBE is.
Yeah.
And that's why there is a paralysis, because you're beginning to separate. Of course, you can't feel your body anymore. This is actually a normal experience. But many people don't understand that, so the terror starts to kick in.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Little kids can't understand it. It's called night terrors.
Night terrors, exactly. Children, by the way, are very prevalent to spontaneous OBEs.
Right.
I have an entire chapter in one of my books devoted to that.
I've heard people comment that they hear a buzzing sound or a ringing sound.
Yes. A buzzing sound is very common, an electrical-like sound. Voices are very common. The sensation of being touched is very common. Feeling somebody actually touch you, actually pull on your legs, begin to lift you out of your body. All of these things are quite common. I've hundreds of people have written to me that are, they just don't understand what's going on. They'll actually feel someone begin to pull on their legs, or that's what they say it feels like, or they feel that somebody's beginning to lift them out of their body. But the most common phenomena is by far the buzzing sounds, electrical-like sounds, voices, and partial paralysis, and also the presence, this feeling of a presence in the room is very common. And often the presence may be very close to you. And all of this is very common, but yet most people are totally unaware of the phenomena associated with this, so they're scared because they haven't been educated about what's actually happening to them.
Wow.
That's why this is so important to get out there. That's why shows like this are important, so people become more knowledgeable. Because this is a universal experience. This is not just something, this is going to happen to probably sometime in every listener will have this happen at some point.
And hopefully they've listened to this program already and they'll go, wait, I know what
exactly. They'll begin to respond because, see, most people don't know how to respond. And that's what I try to focus on in my writing and my workshops. How to respond to the vibrational state phenomena. You have to remain calm. It's imperative. You would just allow these energy sensations, these fluctuations, no matter how they may manifest, because we've only touched the surface of the different ways they can manifest. I've felt like I was in a jet engine on many of occasion. You feel like you're just being torn apart. But that's all part of the vibrational state. Everybody will perceive this differently. Remember, we're going through a massive energy change internally. You're separating. You're beginning to make this conscious move from your dense energy body, which is your physical body, and shifting your awake or aware consciousness into the more subtle energy body, which is already existing simultaneously. Because we're multidimensional beings.
Right.
And that is why all these energy changes are occurring. That's why your people perceive it. And I tell you that initially the experiences can be very abrupt and shocking. But as you continue to pursue this, they become, I find them very enjoyable. Just so that the audience knows. this is an enjoyable, exciting adventure. Once you enter the vibrational state, for me, is just like heaven. It's like, yes, the adventure begins. It's like an early warning indicator that, yes, I'm making a shift of my consciousness. And that's when you surrender. And that's what people have a... This is, again, this what I teach in my workshops, surrender to the phenomena. You let go. You release yourself to it. And you just go with it. And then what happens is that's when you begin to separate. You'll begin to feel... It'll feel like a separation of consciousness. But what's actually happening is, of course, you're shifting your awareness from one energy body to a more subtle energy body. And that's when the excitement begins. But very few people know what this process is.
Yeah, that's true. They don't know what it is, but don't be surprised by who has had it. I was having a Christmas get-together with my in-laws, which are country people. They're just ordinary people, not extraordinary, and they don't travel the world. I think few of them have ever been on an airplane, but we're trading Christmas ornaments in a big circle, and what you do is you ask a question like, all those people that have worn white socks to church or something, trade an ornament. So I said, well, when it comes to me, I'm going to do something really strange. So it came to me, and I said, all those people who have dreamed that they could fly, and everybody exchanged Christmas ornaments. They all had dreamt they could fly.
Isn't that great?
I thought it was fantastic.
It is. It is fantastic. Because that's what people, that's the freedom that all of us have as consciousness. We all can fly. One of my favorite things to do during an OBE is to fly. It is so liberating. You feel so free. It's so fun. Matter of fact, one of the reasons I pursued this for 35 years is because it is exciting and fun. I don't consider this strange or scary. I consider this just flat-out fun. And that's what keeps me going. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it for so long. Now, it also has to do with my mental attitude about it. I worked on my fears. See, most people, because of our, let's just say, our Judeo-Christian background, we've been taught to have a lot of fears about the unknown.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, there's devils, demons, you know, everything is going to get you. And that is, unfortunately, that is what blocks many, many people. And it isn't just Christians. I mean, the same is true for Muslims. I get feedback. My books are in 8 languages. So I get a tremendous amount of feedback from all over even from Korea, from Asia. I lived in China for 4 years. I get a lot of feedback from that area, from Thailand. And there's a lot of fears because people they have bought into a negative belief system that's very fear-based. And that's what makes this vibrational state that we just talked about so scary for so many people. I get hundreds and hundreds of emails from people thinking, I was being possessed or whatever. It's just the vibrational state. That's all that it is. But so many people, they interpret everything based on their current state of, let's just say, beliefs. And that's not a good starting point, as you know.
Well, you know, we have to keep in mind the motivation of those who put together the study. If you're getting something from your pastor or your preacher or your spiritual leader that doesn't feel right, that tells you that, you know, you need to pay attention to just what they are telling you and don't explore anywhere else, begin exploring somewhere else immediately. But we're going to go ahead and take a break right now. We have about 2 minutes left in this segment. My guest is William Buhlman, and his website is astralinfo.org. So we'll give out the phone numbers again at the top of the hour. Don't worry, it's a 3-hour program. Hang in there. We'll be back with more after about 3.5 minutes. So don't go away. Get yourself a drink. Come back for more of X-Squared. Squared Radio. Foundations of Religion and Science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Have you ever thought about owning a telescope? I mean a really good telescope. Well, at the Discovery Store, you can find the world's best telescopes at great discounts and free shipping. They have come a long way, you know. Most of the comets discovered in the last 50 years were found by amateurs. There is no better way to view the sun than with a coronoscope. Trust me, you will be captivated if you ever get to watch the sun through one of these units. Who knows? You might just save the planet. So plan a trip to the Discovery Store at X Squared Radio. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. Welcome back to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. We're glad you're here with us tonight here. We are coming to you live on the BBS Radio Network and also through the Steel Eye Media Network, courtesy of our friend Kevin Smith. The phone lines will be open this hour. Whole hour, toll-free, U.S., 888-228-4494. And also we have a toll-free number for Canada. It's 877-489-6350. And anywhere else on planet or off planet, if you have a cell phone and you can reach a tower, you can get to us. That number is 530-776-5154 or 5185. And Skype users, just use BBS Radio. and Pal Talk users, you can find us at bbsradio_com. We welcome all callers this hour. Our guest is William Buhlman. Before we get into this, I want to let you know the Christmas trilogy of the Ark of Millions of Years. I did not get the marketing pages done. Too much going on with the day job. But go ahead and start getting ready for it, because we're going to issue a special. You can get all three books with the new covers for a special price. As you know, Volume 3 just came out July 2nd, and it went up to, I think the highest reach was number 68 on Amazon. A little bit lower than that on Barnes & Noble, which is pretty phenomenal, given that there's about 10 million books for sale on those websites. So we appreciate that so much, more than you know. And we know that you've enjoyed the books, and you might want to have friends enjoy it too. So we are going to put those books together for you in a trilogy at an amazing price. So just pay attention. Next week, we are going to run an archive, because I will be in India for the Global Summit on Algae for Biofuels. The company I work for has been invited to attend, so I will be going up there, or on the other side of the globe anyway, another time zone to be sure, talking about how to grow algae and harvest it and process it into biodiesel. So more fun than anyone should be allowed to have, I guess. William's website is astralinfo.org. I'll make the link on the website live after the program. And, of course, this archive will be uploaded tonight. So any of you that have friends that don't listen to this program live, be sure to tell them where the link is, and they can just go there while they're working on their favorite project tomorrow and put on a set of headphones and listen and be enlightened. William, in this hour, I want to talk about a little bit of the clinical work that has been done to vastly support your work here. I know that piles of data have been collected in these clinical settings going back to the first half of the 19th or 20th century. But it seems no one has really gone through all that data and organized it into some meaningful conclusions. So I have three examples that I studied in my own work. And I want to run those by you, because they're just fascinating. And they add third-party validation to exactly what you're saying. In one such experiment, the scientists conducted the study. They sought out individuals with remarkable abilities so that they could sort of test the limits of the possibilities. And this one gentleman they found was really special. He could astrally travel and actually interact with living physical beings at a distant location. He not only observed things at that location, but the people there got messages he was trying to send them. So, you know, we're in this vibrational state, but is it possible while in that state to actually interact with the physical world?
Well, it has been reported. It's a little more challenging than it may appear, because when you leave your body, you're entering another dimension, and that's often overlooked. The whole act of having an out-of-body experience is a significant shift of consciousness, where you're moving in to an entire different vibrational dimension. And because of this, of course, you're disconnected from the physical world in many respects. That's one of the reasons why getting empirical evidence supporting at least what many people in science would conceive as a truly factual, let's say, is difficult to achieve, because even those that are talented are still operating from a highly a different dimension, and it's not an easy process to interact with matter. For instance, when I've done it, often you have to lower your vibration rate to try to impact matter. And in one of my books, I talk about trying to move physical object. And as you lower your vibration rate to be able to interact with matter, what happens is you have a tendency to snap back your body, which sounds a little odd, but that's exactly what happens, because there's a threshold that you reach as you try to interact with a denser object. And so what will happen is your hand will literally just go through the physical objects.
Wow.
And this is based on my personal experiences. Now, I know there are reports, many reports of people that have, there's stories of people being pinched, for instance, that's well known. People having their touching others and they can feel it. And I know these things happen because I've had them happen to me. But in general, it's not the easy process that many people talk about. There's a control issue that takes some, let's just say, some experience to handle, to be able to interact with matter. Even from the most logical standpoint, that's just call it what people perceive as the spirit realm. There's people call it the curtain or the membrane separating the one dimension from the other. And that's intentional, to keep these two dimensions from not interacting. So I'm going into detail here because I wanted the listeners to realize that there is evidence at some point, but that it's not an easy process to obtain any evidence that would be considered scientific, because you have to do it multiple times to prove it.
Right.
And that's a difficult thing to do when you're entering another whole dimensional reality. Not to mention, what happens is, when you have an out-of-body experience, you rapidly become more interested in that other reality, and it diverts your attention very easily. And a lot of the initial experiments you may have in mind become kind of almost childish to you.
Sure, I could see that, sort of the grass is greener on the other side of the hill. There's one amazing experiment. I think this was done in the 40s. A man altered the outcome of a random number generator that was running in another location, unknown to that man. He chose numbers to influence, and the statistics were stunning to see first one number and then another at this man's command occur far higher than possible. In a random number generator, you should have a normally distributed occurrence of those numbers over a period of time. And what he did is he skewed the answers by going to that location and concentrating on those numbers. And darned if that isn't what happened. And in a still dumbfounding aspect of this experiment, he did this with a tape that had already been produced several months earlier. He traveled in time and influenced that number generator in the past. So this is a really important question. It's going to really open it up this hour. Are we limited by time as far as where and when we can travel?
No, absolutely not. One of the first things that I learned, which was at the time very shocking, is that our concept of time is really quite skewed. Time doesn't exist as we know it. And that's a hard thing to wrap our minds around, because we're so linear in our physical worlds. But you quickly find when you leave your body that let's face it, time is a marking of molecular decay. I mean, that's what we're doing. I mean, we're observing the decay around us and then marking time by it. But if things don't decay, if things don't change, what would time be? And that's in a way what it's like to be out of your body. There is no change. There is no death. There is no all the things that we perceive as a beginning and an end. There is none of that existing. So one of the things that I found is that does time not exist as we perceive it, but that we as immortal states of consciousness or soul, if we don't age, if we don't grow old, what does time mean? it's just a marker of events that we've experienced as consciousness. But what's exciting here is that you open up a whole new realm. One of the things that I teach in my workshops is the ability to begin to explore your own timeline that you may experienced in the physical world. And I write about this also quite extensively. For instance, I write about experiences where I experienced myself as a German soldier during World War II. In other words, when you leave your body, you begin to almost automatically begin to tap into your past lives. And for the longest time, I didn't want to accept this as a reality. I wasn't brought up as a New Age person. And unfortunately, that's equated with a New Age belief system. But I rapidly found out from my own experiences and from getting hundreds and hundreds of other people's experiences, once you leave your body, your higher self will begin to dictate and take you to these other experiences where you learn lessons. And wow, does that open up a new reality to you?
Well, someone would ask, is it really William's past life as a German soldier, or is William tapping into the memory or the thought processes of a former German soldier?
A valid question, absolutely. But when you have this experience, it is shockingly real. That's all I can say. When I had these experiences, and there's been multiple confirmations of my own to verify this, I feel, but it was shockingly real. It wasn't a dream-like experience. I was a tank commander on the Russian front, and I could feel and sense myself in this tank going through Poland, then in other experiences in Russia. And then I died. I even experienced my death there. This was just shockingly real to me. That's all I can say. Every person has to judge this for themselves. But you're absolutely right. It could be your mind. Many people, it's just your mind playing tricks on you. Well, I tell you, this is a powerful, powerful experience. I've had at least on 8 different times that were different segments of this same life. And what gets exciting is the prospect that, as many people feel, that there is no past lives. They're all now. Because we're so linear in our thoughts. But imagine if all events are happening simultaneously. And again, we can't wrap our minds around this. But it opens up a new realm of exploration for anybody that wants to pursue this for themselves.
As you're dissolving this veil, as it were, between that life and this life, when you were the German soldier in Poland and experiencing the bone-chilling cold and the jarring, non-ergonomic environment of a German tank, you probably didn't project yourself forward into the 21st century saying that you were going to talk about that experience. But here you are in the 21st century, and now you're recalling the ache and the pain and the stress and the fear that you felt at that moment. And 21st century William has now changed because he has perspective of that German soldier.
Well, that's what I think happens. You tap into your own experiences because these were lessons that at the time I needed. Let's just use me as an example. For some reason, and I'm not saying I understand all this because I don't. No one does. But there were experiences back in that past, let's, for clarity, call it a past life, where I learned my soul, my consciousness, needed that experience as part of my training. And now I realize that part of that mindset of this German officer, that was riding this tank and conquering through Poland and into the Ukraine and then into Russia, before I was killed, I realized there were certain aspects of myself. I was very driven. I was very, I was arrogant. I was not the guy I thought I was. It was not necessarily, you know, the airy-fairy positive experience of people, oh, that's just like Shirley MacLaine, blah, blah. It's not at all. I was actually disappointed with myself at the time when I had my first encounter or re-experience of this, because I thought I was, you know, you think yourself as being a little more evolved. And then it hits you that, oh, my God, you know, I wasn't necessarily, you know, I was a patriot in my own country, but I did terrible things. And then that's when the reality hits you, that there were aspects that I lived. I displayed maybe courage and, let's say, elements of my own personality come through. And these elements are still needed in this life, and I carried them over. For instance, for 35 years, I've been talking about a subject that has been, especially 30 years ago, was taboo. I've been picketed 3 times by various institutions.
That's when you know you've arrived.
Well, my point is that maybe those elements I gained from that past life, one way to look at it, that those elements that I gained, those soul attributes that I gained from my past life as a German soldier, of whatever, that drive, the ambition, the I'm going to do it no matter what, I needed in this life to carry on with the work I'm doing now, because you can't be a wallflower 30 years ago and go and talk about astral projection. I mean, it just doesn't happen. People just, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't, you know, it was just a bunch of hooey. They thought you were, the first thing they thought was, you know, I've been asked, well, what were you smoking? What drugs were you on? You know what I mean? People immediately think, well, it's an hallucinatory experience. And they don't even comprehend the fact that you're studying this and pursuing it very aggressively with an open mind. My point is that we learn about ourselves in ways that we can't, it's hard to express, but it's, you begin to tap into aspects of your own self that you can't, that is just mind-boggling. Because one of the things I've learned is that almost all of us have been here many, many times. I don't want to throw out numbers because all of us are different. But, and the numbers aren't that important, but we have all had incredible numbers of experience before we get to this point in the 21st century. And this bank of knowledge is all needed. It's all part of the learning curve to get where we are today. Just as our current life today, the knowledge we're gaining now from our experience in the 21st century may be used in the 1,000 years from now.
Right.
So we're in a progression of evolution. This is about the evolution of consciousness. That's what OBEs accelerate. And that's what's exciting about it. You begin to realize that there is an evolution occurring. It has nothing to do with matter. Matter is just the dense vehicle, the tool of evolution. The true evolution is the evolution of consciousness through form, through our experiences. And we need many experiences to reach our full potential. And that's what you begin to tap into. And it's very exciting.
Excellent. We have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Mark from Nashcourt, Ohio.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Dr. Agnew. It's good to be back. Hi, William. I got a few questions.
Sure.
Have you ever been able to successfully interact with any physical objects at all? I know you started to talk about that a little bit. When you left your body, have you been able to physically interact with tangible things?
I have. When you leave your body, when you all physical objects have an energy parallel, everything. When you look around your room right now, the TV, every structure, there. When you leave your body, there is another energy duplicate of this. And what people feel they're interacting with, they're actually interacting with that energy substructure of matter, which can get a little confusing. because, yes, I have on many occasions during OBEs, I have moved objects and thought I moved them physically. And then when I come back to my body, I realize I haven't. I've only moved the energy substructure of the object as such. And the physical object is not moved. Now, there are people that have claimed, I've tried to on many occasions, and I've never been able to. But there are people that claim that they can interact with physical objects. And I don't doubt that. But I personally have not been able to as such. And tell you the truth, I also found it to be not very important very quickly, because there were so many more important things to be learned, because I realized that the physical world is the epidermis layer, and I want to find out what's behind it.
Right.
So that's what these experiments that I did, and I write about in Adventures Beyond the Body, I did in my earlier years. And to be honest, I lost interest because there are so many more fascinating things. Like we were just talking about this past life scenarios and this energy evolution. That is what I found. And what are we? Where are we going? Where are we coming? You know, where are we? What's our purpose? All these big questions need to be answered. That's so much more fascinating than just moving an object. Not to mention, when you begin to have out-of-body experiences, you get an immense amount of interaction from other people that are no longer in the physical body. And that alone can get to be, that's almost an entire show in itself. So there's so much going on that moving a candle or a pencil is certainly of no, it gets to be of almost childlike interest. Anyway, that's my perception of them.
Maybe my next question isn't so relevant then, but I'll go ahead and throw it out there anyway. Have you ever been able to leave your body, go to another location, and observe something that you hadn't seen before, and then when you were back in your body, travel there physically and verify your observation?
Yes, and I have another thing I think is even more interesting that's an offshoot of your question, is that often what will happen to me is that I will have an out-of-body experience spontaneously. For instance, I had many experiences going to China and India and all through Asia, and I didn't understand why I was going to these locations because I would spontaneously be in a Chinese city. And I had no idea. I'm trying to figure out the timeline. I'm trying to figure out why am I here. And then, lo and behold, 6 months later, I end up living in China for 4 years. It's like the OBEs were the precursor to the physical experience. It's almost like I was, for lack of a better word, astrally checking out the environment before I physically went. And also, many people would say I was creating that event. I was molding my future by my out-of-body experiences. I've had that happen to me on many occasions where I feel that, for instance, I've had experiences, I'll give you one example, where I saw a cruise ship during an out-of-body experience, and I don't have a clue what it meant at the time. I put it in my journal, everything. I think everybody listening should realize this. It's important to journal. Write down your experiences. And then, lo and behold, about, I don't know, 4 months later, I got a call from Inner Voyage to be a speaker on a cruise ship. My point is that our higher self is giving us a precursor or an exploration of our potential futures. And it gets really wild. So yeah, I really pay close attention to all of the details of my experiences and the locations, because I found it to be let's just say the future is unfolding now on the astral plane.
Okay, I got one more quick question, and I'll listen to the answer off the air. What would you say is the practical value for the listeners here to take the time to learn these techniques? In other words, how can I use the technique to leave my body to improve my circumstances in life? And I'll listen off the air. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, I feel that the answers is what's most important, at least for me and for many others. I want answers. I don't want to be the pawn of a belief system. And the best way I found to obtain the answers for me is to have an out-of-body experience and explore it for myself. And maybe later we can talk about this in more detail. But the answers are available, and we have the ability to find them. And also, I found that having OBEs, you really begin to fully tap into your creative ability, because during an out-of-body experience, you have the ability to mold your reality. I mean, with incredible speed. For instance, just using a crude example, if I want to fly, I fly. If I want to, let's just say, hypothetically, I want a new car, I can create a new car on the astral plane. And what's happening, I feel, is that we are molding the energy around us. When you create, everybody's familiar with The Secret, but what's the real unseen, unknown part of The Secret is that the real creation takes part in the unseen dimensions, the astral world or the etheric world, at whatever terms you like to use. And you can mold, consciously begin to mold that future. And more importantly, you begin to realize your own creative ability. You realize, I do create my reality. I see it. I see it instantly being created. And it's an immense, let's just say you recognize your own potential very quickly that many people never really tap into. So it's a liberation, and also it's an exciting, it opens up an exciting potential for your own ability to create your own reality. So yes, you can build your future. You can begin to build a new future, because that future is taking form all around us. Each of us right now have thought forms around us that are taking form. And for many of us, they will appear as clouds, like gray clouds in formation. And as you focus your attention on your thought forms, on your images, whether it be a new job or a new relationship or whatever it is you want, you're beginning to shape and mold these thought forms that are around each of us. And the more, let's just say, the more focused and powerful we are in doing this, the more knowledgeable we are in doing this, the faster we begin to restructure, reformat our present, because each present is always a result of thoughts from the past. In other words, our thoughts are just molding that energy around us. And that's why this is important to know. We can begin to restructure it. For instance, my last 4 years I've been traveling all through Asia, and that's partially due to my travels that I do out of my body, that as above, so below. Then what we do on the inside manifests on the outside eventually, if we continue our focus. And this is an exciting new prospect for creation, personal creation.
Right. Well, Mark had an interesting aspect to his question, and I think you're eminently qualified to take this to the next level. He asked how practicing this can change his life condition. And, you know, I can tell you as a manager that one of the things that I look for when I interview someone, whether they're a manager or an engineer or an operator, I look for experience. I look for, you know, what's on the resume? What story are they ready for? What condition can they bring experience for to the table? And this kind of travel isn't something, of course, you could put on the resume. I was a former German tank officer in World War II. But you do bring forward that command. You bring forward with you that ability to handle stress, to give orders, to stay focused. And that's what shows up in the interview. So when you're talking about creating a life condition, I want to make sure that you understand you don't have to just draw from the past. In physics, the one thing that we understand mathematically is that there's no difference between traveling forward in time and traveling backward in time. It's the same distance. For instance, from where I am to Seattle as it is from Seattle to here. Same amount of energy.
Right.
Just the same thing that you've been talking about for the last hour and a half, is that don't limit yourself based on this physical reality, that what I can see, what I can hear, what I can feel. Of course we're going to go beyond that, but let's go beyond even that and start drawing future memories back to this point and use that experience, use that perspective to guide your existence in the here and now.
Absolutely. Well, we mold our present. Right now, all of us, everyone listening, has molded their current reality to exactly what it is today. All the little, even the TV, the sofa, the chairs, the home, the apartment, everything, we have molded that with our thoughts. And each of those objects began with a thought. And that's what a lot of people forget sometimes, because we're so fixated on the end result. We forget about this chain of energy events that occur in every creation. And everything starts with a thought. And then it's a focused thought, a held thought. And then it finally is formatted and molded and energy on the astral plane and becomes denser thought form on the astral plane. And then eventually, with continued energy focus of our own thoughts, there's an interdimensional opening, and that object will appear in matter. This is the unseen dynamics of all creation, and very few people are aware of it. So the way that we focus our consciousness, our thoughts, is very important to the end results we all experience. But most people are so fixated on the dense results, they don't see that chain occurring. That continuation of energy events. But once you leave your body, you begin to connect with that, because you see the energy formations around you. And it's quite a giant eye-opener and shocking often that you see what's around you. And you understand that, oh my God, you know, I'm building a reality here. And it's a difficult thing to express.
Your toolbox is...
Yeah, your toolbox is your own thoughts. And it's the only toolbox we have. It's not nothing. It's not about luck. It's, you know, the universe provides. It's up to us to help the focus of the energy that's already present.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's no such thing as a first offense, okay? I heard a term in the last couple of years that opens some amazing possibilities. In fact, it opens the potential of all potentialities. The term is bilocating. And I've understood this to mean that someone can exist in more than one location at the same time. Am I getting this right?
Yes, it's a very, very popular theory. There's people that believe that they're currently incarnated in two different bodies simultaneously right now, and which is kind of mind-blowing, because there's a simple concept, soul or consciousness. First, you have to understand that all physical bodies are just vehicles and tools of consciousness. And because consciousness is so incredibly powerful and creates its own reality, some people that consider, well, let's just say they feel that they may be more advanced, have the ability to use different tools and vehicles of expression in the physical world. So there's different ways of looking. Now, I'm looking at bilocation from another standpoint here, but it's all tied together. In other words, we can be in multiple locations because soul is that powerful. Soul is that expansive. Consciousness is that expansive. We have the ability to operate multiple energy bodies simultaneously. And what's wild is that we're all doing it now. We're all using our physical body. We're all, right now, this instant, every listener is using their energy body, their astral body, their etheric body. Every emotion you feel, you're feeling your emotional body. When you have a thought, you're using your mental body. When you have an inspiration, you're using a different part, another body. So we are multidimensional beings using multiple bodies right now. So if we can all do this, and do it effortlessly, by the way, then why can't we use other multiple, why can't we use other physical bodies? And why can't we bilocate? There's no limit once the state of consciousness is at that level. I mean, let's face it, if you examine the text of holy books throughout history, there's multiple references in India. I heard your reference, you're going to India. I spent a lot of time in Mumbai, India. And there's a lot of references to bilocation in India, for instance. It's a serious part of the ancient culture. And in other religions, let's say, in Hinduism and other, my point is that this is not as radical a thought as what many people may imagine. Even in Christian texts, there was Father Paulo, who in Christian literature became sainted because he actually was viewed, and he was with the Pope, and he was also with another individual healing them at the exact same time. And this is recognized by the Catholic Church as a reality. And this goes back 800 years ago. My point is that some of these subjects that on the surface may sound a little wild, but they've been talked about and discussed for thousands of years.
So it
kind of opens the door up to a lot of things.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it makes it where you can actually feel the breeze from two worlds at the same time.
Yeah, because that's what you're doing. Every time you have a thought, that's what you're doing. Every time you have an emotion, that's what you're doing. You're having an interdimensional experience. But we're so integrated, we don't even perceive it.
Yeah, but we're beginning to open up. We're even with this program, we're getting more
aware absolutely.
All the time. The tools with which we have those thoughts, those very creative thoughts that you're talking about right now, are expanded by the ability to have an OBE, to astrally travel to another place and time, and recover to, let's call it a consolidation. You're consolidating experience at this time, in this moment, so that you can use it to use those creative thoughts in this life. And I think you're not alone. There are hundreds of thousands of people out there doing it right now, and that might be why our planet is changing so rapidly.
Oh, I think so. Many people refer to it as a hundred monkey. In other words, when a certain number of people have a shift of consciousness, there's a global shift of group consciousness. It's a popular theory, which I feel is valid, actually. But as more and more people open up to have their own profound experiences, the more that there's a total shift in the group consciousness. That's why all this is important. The key is to recognize it and to begin to really pursue it and to get out of the box. Most people, I think even today, there's still a lot of people, they move from one box to the next. In other words, they move from being a staunch believer in, hypothetically, a staunch Christian, and then they move into another belief system and they think, well, I'm really making advances, but what they've done is just move from one belief to another. And the real shift occurs when you begin to have your own experiences. You begin to, that's when things open up and explode internally. And that's when people begin to have spontaneous, for instance, we talked about the vibrational state. That's when the vibrational state happens spontaneously to people. That's when Kundalini experiences happen. That's when people have these profound meditative experiences and trance-like states. And they begin to really tap into these other realities. And that's where we're heading. We're heading to a state where people will be able to become more and more multidimensional. And OBEs is really like the first step in this process. And that's why it's so important, because this is the evolution of humanity has nothing to do with matter. The evolution is beyond matter. We are evolving to a state where we no longer need matter at all. And that's the, but unfortunately people still don't recognize, or many people don't recognize that. And that's what OBEs, that's what makes an OBE so important to people, because then they open up to that reality that, oh my God, I have this ability to step out of my shell and really tap into these incredible realities that are here and now. It isn't some, you know, woo-woo way out place. It's right here, right now. The unit, everything is here and everything is now. It's just up for us to open up and see it through our own experiences.
So there's no need to wait. And
no,
I want to make a distinction here, because you made a mention of moving from one box to another box, and it's just a matter of, you know, one belief system to another. I just want to crack the word belief open right here on this program. Believing is not enough. William is talking about experiencing. Now, experiencing means that you are involved, that you are expending and receiving energy. And that is far beyond belief. It is not enough to sit in the pews and believe. You have to participate. That is why you are here.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I've been teaching for 35 years, is that, you know, when you look at all the profound teachers throughout history, they were not believers. They were radical experiencers.
Sure.
That's what made these guys so special. Jesus was an experiencer. He had wild experiences. Muhammad describes going through seven heavens in the Quran. And having these incredible, he went through seven different dimensions during the night journey. He describes, and basically the essence of the Quran is the night journey of his multidimensional travels beyond his body, where he talks about meeting angels, non-physical beings, which is a prevalent context of all biblical and spiritual texts throughout history, whether it be Hindu, Buddhist, it doesn't matter. These guys were having experiences. They weren't sitting in the pews at all. They were out there. They were meditating. They were having out-of-body experiences. They were having trance states. They were doing things, moving inward. And that's what's important here.
Sure,
because
look at John in the book of Revelations. He's talking about the new city of Jerusalem descending out of heaven and landing on earth. This city, by the way, is measured in furlongs. Every chemist, every physicist knows the secret to life is conversion factors and clean glassware. So if you want, if you want to convert furlongs in Revelations to a length measurement that you understand, you convert the furlongs in Revelations to miles, and now you have a city that lies four square, 1,200 miles along each wall, and the vertical direction as well. The space shuttle flies at 200 miles, people. We're not talking about a city. We're talking about a moon, a cubical moon. That's how big this thing is, that lowers and attaches itself to the Earth. This is what John saw.
Well, John has a lot of incredible experiences in Revelations, and but he was only one of many of these individuals throughout history that were experienced. He was an experiencer. That's just what we're talking about. He didn't sit around and just read text and was content with that. And that's the exciting part about OBEs, is that it allows people to have their own experiences.
Sure, think about it. Not much available on the Isle of Patmos when you are exiled from society. They couldn't kill the guy, so they exiled him to an island, and I'm sure he had libraries of information available to him. Not. He got his information through OBEs and through astrally traveling. It was an accepted method of gaining revelation. We have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're coming from, please.
Yes, I'm Bianca, and I'm from Florida.
Hello, Bianca. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Bianca.
I had a questions for William. And the first one was, what's your favorite induction method for getting into the out-of-body state? And can you get into out-of-body state anytime you want to? So any night you decide to go out-of-body, you can actually induce it?
Okay, my personal favorite is to, now keep in mind that that's changed over the years, just like I've changed over the years. I started out doing the target technique that I talked about earlier. And now when I have my OBs, they generally occur during the day. I lay on the sofa. I designate a specific area, I always have, where I expect to have experiences. This is very important because our intention and expectation is part of the conditioning process. I designated for the last 35 years a sofa as my exploration area. And generally around, I get up early every day, and generally around 1, I'll lay down in this specific area, always the same way, and then I use simple affirmations. But again, now I'm conditioned. I've been conditioned from, I've worked on my fear over the years. I've had multiple experiences. So I'm open to it. And I use a simple affirmation now I'm out of body. And I repeat it as a mantra almost internally and I try to hold it as my last conscious thought. This is probably the simplest technique that anyone can do. But it's all part of my self-conditioning. I'm a certified hypnotherapist. I use my own kind of self-induction to get myself into a very relaxed state. But that's what I do now. And no one has an experience every time. It's like meditation. I mean, I look at out-of-body exploration like other probably meditators would look at meditation. I mean, it's a process. I mean, nobody sits down to meditate and expect to be the Buddha, you know, within a year or within the first time. And the same thing is with OBEs. I consider it to be, I would say, I don't know what the numbers are. I always feel that when I'm open and receptive to the experience, when I need the experience, that they happen. But I do a technique every day. And that's the key because that's part of the programming process. So percentage-wise, I would say probably once a week I have an experience of some kind. And sometimes I'll have the vibrational state. I get a heavy vibration that starts at the base of my neck and then spreads out, and I'll get a quick paralysis. It feels literally like a quick numbness going over my body, and I just surrender to that sensation. If it's a vibrational feeling, I surrender to the vibration. The key is to surrender, not to be analytical. Many people make the mistake of being too analytical. They go, you know, ooh, something's happening, and then you just cut it. That ends it. You have to just release yourself to the vibrational state, I have found. At least for me, that's been very effective. Anyway, I think that answers your questions.
What about Bianca? Bianca, have you had an out-of-body experience?
Yes, I have about, like, every other month. I have an experience, but I would like to get them more often, and I think part of the reason is that I'm not always getting up in the middle of the night, and that leads me to the next question, because I haven't been successful to induce an out-of-body experience in the evening when going to sleep, only in the early morning. Is that kind of something that you agree on, that you usually get up, like you said, at 1? Do you think is the best time frame?
Well, using your bed is the worst place, number one. You're conditioned from childhood to, unfortunately in our society, the concept of sleep, it means unconscious, a deep sleep, you know, I'm slept like a log. This whole conditioning process means unconsciousness, and we have to begin to reprogram ourselves. I would say that only about 5% of my experiences have happened in a bed. And I think that's partially due to it. I mean, I don't know what else to equate it to. Is that we're conditioned to sleep more soundly in our bed. When I lay down on my sofa, I only expect to be, you know, in an altered state for a very brief period of time. And that's all part of the conditioning process. But one of the most, I would say, probably 4 hours of sleep for many people has been very effective. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. You sleep for 4 hours, you set your alarm, you get up, and then you go to your sofa. But the key is to leave your bed. And because then you expect a different outcome. And you ingrain in yourself that my sofa is my exploration area. Write it down. Write it 20 times that this is my exploration. I expect to have an out-of-body experience now. And make that part of the conditioning. Do whatever it takes. Yeah, this is a creative process. But this early morning technique is very effective. But it's not an easy. I'm not saying that this part of it may be necessarily easy. A lot of us don't have a lifestyle where we can sleep for 4 hours and then get up and move. And I'm very aware of this. The other option is to do it in the middle of the day. That's also very effective for people. In other words, when you're in the middle of the day, when you take a nap, that can be very effective.
15 or 20 minutes, and you know, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon is very, very rejuvenating, and you can have.
Yeah, it's like a power nap.
But
the key is to get away from your bed, and to absolutely. I've known people that have taken this very seriously, and they actually surround their sofa with. Salt. I mean, everybody has their own little ritual they do, but they make this into an, or let's say it's another, it could be even a guest room. They make this into their exploration area, and they take this very seriously. And this is all part of the process of conditioning ourselves to a new adventure. Because if you continue, you know, the old saying is, well, if you continue to do what you've done, you're going to get what you've always got. And that's very true. You have to break up the old mindsets. You have to do things differently. And you have to have a new expectation. And this concept, I can't stress it enough. Our intention and expectations are very important. I expect to have an OBE when I lay down on my sofa. I'm not there to take a darn nap. I expect, and that's incredibly powerful. Don't underestimate that.
Right, that makes sense. I had my first out-of-body experience after reading your book and doing a nap, so that seems to make sense to me with the nap time, using that.
Yes, you have the vibrational state, typically?
Yeah, I had the vibrational state, and I was able to get out of my body, too, so...
very good.
I believe it also helps to read about out-of-body experiences and then go try and have one, because you already set your mind to it, just like
absolutely
the ritual.
Yeah, right. You saturate your mind in this subject, and then
thank you very much for answering my questions.
Sure.
And I will continue to listen to the show.
Thank you, Bianca.
Thank you, William.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to tell the listeners that I have a workshop coming up. I only do one every year in the United States, and that'll be coming up in 2 weeks in Maine. And in other words, the 3-day workshop starts Friday and it goes through Sunday, and it's very experiential. I don't do lectures. People bring comfortable clothes, and we do techniques on the floor. We do hypnosis. We do many different methods. This is very much an inner exploration work, and it's an entire weekend. It's in a beautiful facility in Maine, in Portland, Maine. And the information's on my website at astroinformation.org if you want to check it out. But I only do one of these. My schedule has just been very busy, and I do very few a year now. So this is my only one. For the rest of the year in the United States, and I have one coming up in Rome, Italy next month.
How are Europeans compared to Americans as far as receptivity for this kind of activity?
Oh, it's been so fun. In Italy, it's exploding with interest. It has been so much fun.
Wow.
I've done three or four events this year in Italy alone. They are beginning to, just in the last few years, they have begun to really open up to this, the potential of this, and they're so excited about it. I did a lecture to at Rimini, Italy. There's 1,000 people were present. And
1,000 people?
Yeah, 1,000 people. It was, and there was, the response was overwhelming. People were so excited about it because it's something, for them, it's something new and exciting that they can do themselves. And let's face it, I was fortunate. My book was one of the first books published, or major books. There's been other books, of course, but my book has been in Italian now for 10 years.
Oh my!
And it's done. Both of my books are in Italian, and they've sold very well, and it's gotten really good coverage by the media. And it's all through France, Germany, also. Europe is just really getting, I think, opening up to this entire topic. Where America's become a little more fear-based because of 9/11. There's been this group consciousness of fear that's put a damper on the progress in general. Now, I'm not talking about, it's just a temporary thing. But you know what I'm talking about. There's an overwhelming sense of what's going to happen next. The Europeans don't have that. And they're steaming ahead. They're really excited about it. And now they have some good books available to them to study and to
do
the techniques.
That's right.
So I've been just thrilled with the response there. The crowds are large and enthusiastic.
That's amazing.
And this is right in the. I do a workshop right at the two blocks from the Colosseum. It's just a fabulous experience.
Wow, that makes for neat evening walks.
Yeah, and I do a fire ceremony at night, and you can do the fire ceremony. You can see the Colosseum in the back.
I might have to make that one.
it's fun. Also,
we're at the top of the second hour. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We're running about 3 minutes long here, and we'll be back. And promise, we'll light the airwaves on fire with this next hour. Got a lot of neat stuff coming up. Don't go away. My guest is William Buhlman. We're talking about OBEs and astral travel. So don't you travel too far. We'll be back with more X Squared Radio after this. Down at NRG Resources have introduced a new engine oil technology. TVT 24/7 is the future of lubrication. This is the industry's first environmentally friendly oil additive that not only increases fuel mileage, it reduces engine, gearbox, and transaxle wear to nothing. The other brands fail anti-friction testing in less than 10 minutes under standard testing conditions. TVT 24/7 went more than 24 hours in the test and still did not fail. Get tomorrow's technology today by visiting the online store at X Squared Radio and pick up TVT 24/7 Engine Oil Energizer.
There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the 6-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today.
Yeah.
If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. Welcome back. Final of 3 hours of X Squared Radio. We're so glad that you're here with us. We're coming to you live from Eastern Washington State, right up against the Canadian border. Just a couple of quick things. We had a couple of TVT stories come in. You heard the TVT commercial during the break. Two TVT stories. One is from a school bus district who can now keep all their school buses on their routes because they are saving 10% of their fuel expenses for their bus fleet by putting TVT in the crankcases of the buses. Great, great responses. Thank you so much for those. If you have one of those, you can write me at bagnew@x2-radio.com. Please send those TVT success stories to us, and we'll get those on to NRG Resources. Had one more. It was a testing lab that called me this week, a testing organization called Fuel Only out of Vancouver, Washington. Somebody got the bright idea to put TVT in their fuel, and the performance they're getting out of it is nothing short of phenomenal. So keep those stories coming. We like to hear them. We'll pass them along to NRG. Fantastic new discoveries in lubrication, so don't let those get away from us. Final hour of X Squared Radio. We're on for 3 hours, so if you're not getting all 3 hours, be sure to let us know who your affiliate is, and we'll take care of the rest. William Buhlman is my guest. His books, Secrets of the Soul, and that last one just gets me. It's something beyond the
Adventures beyond the body.
I got it. And he has a workshop coming up in Maine. He only does one in the U.S. So get to that website, astralinfo.org. Sign up for that. It isn't a sit-down event. You're going to participate just like you do on this program. Don't forget the phone lines are open, toll-free, U.S. 888-228-4494. Canada, 877-489-6350. Anywhere else, on planet, off planet, if you can reach a cell phone tower, you can get to us at 530-776-5154 or 5185. Skype, we don't leave you out. BBS Radio is the code. And Pal Talk, it is BBSRadio_com. We have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Kathy from Virginia.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I don't know if I'm directly on the out-of-body topic, but I really would like you to tell me what happened to me. About a month ago, I was coming home from a long commute after work. I wanted to get home to see a particular TV show. I was very aware of the time. I thought in advance where I'd have to go into a left lane to make a left turn to get to a fast food place first. And the road is brand new. It has funny turns. It's got a lot of equipment. I would have been very aware being on that road, and I know I didn't go on it. And I missed the doggone lane to get into the left-hand turn. And as I was crossing the intersection, I says, well, that takes care of that. Now I'm not going to be able to do that. And I had a flash of light. And then as in 1 second, I was at the other end of that intersection, and I saw the fast food sign on my left. And I had to hurry up and make a decision. Is this real or is this not real? And I thought, well, I'm going to say it's real because I don't want to have to backtrack and turn around and make a U-turn again. And I went through the whole thing, went through the drive-through, had to wait for somebody to get waited on before me. The whole, you know, thing, it took a long time, and as I went back on the road again, I found out I didn't lose any time at all. Now, I don't know if that's an out-of-body or whatever, but it's like I jumped time, and I'm wondering what the heck I did.
Well, that's not a classic out-of-body experience, certainly. It is possible, but very few people have them while driving. It wouldn't be the safest of conditions. But it does sound like a skip time event, which is common, because we talked about that earlier in the program, about time is really a man-made creation. There is no time as such. So, yes, there are anomalies in time, and I think that's what you experienced. Due to the focus, and you were probably in a relaxed state. But that's not an out-of-body experience as such.
Okay.
But it's a fascinating
experience. If I would have decided I didn't want that to be reality, would I have gone back to the place I should have been?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because I was in a whole other intersection.
That's true. I mean, in a sense, you were at an intersection of time.
Yeah.
So, and your mind was creating the reality that you experienced. So that's how I would perceive that. It's more of a mental interaction with the timeline. You're molding the timeline as such.
Hmm. Okay. And it happens a lot, huh?
It does happen. I've had it happen to me on several occasions, but it's really not an out-of-body experience. An out-of-body experience is quite different. So the connection's a little, you know, tenuous. But it's definitely a fascinating experience.
Well, it sounds Kathy, that you have a propensity for it. I would definitely pursue some training and see if you can build up that ability.
Well, I wouldn't even know where to go, but this is all so important. I feel we're on the edge of a new paradigm, and I want to serve, and I just don't know what to do and, you know, how to grab onto it.
That's a very good feeling to want to do that. I would suggest, as a starting point, go to William's website, astralinfo.org, and explore a little bit. Astralinfo.org, and just explore a little bit, and see what you can learn.
Yeah, one thing that I do go into is about the timeline and how it's quite more, it's tenuous. It's not at all the structured thing that we like to perceive it to be. We can travel through the timeline by shifts of consciousness. So I do cover some related topics to what you may have experienced.
Okay. I understand that if you feel that you're doing it for good, and if you feel that that, you know, you are protected, then I believe that you would be in order, you know, to come back to wherever you are living now.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, some of the experiences, you know, might not be all tea and crumpets or milk and cookies. Some of the experiences can be, you know, if poignant, if nothing else, you can recover sadness as well as happiness from it. But the experience from it that you can bring to this here and now will definitely help you in being able to craft your reality.
Well, anything that'll bring forth a more peaceful world is well worth it.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Thank you, and bye.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
William, you talked about having a place, a physical place, a couch or a meditation room or a hammock or a hanging chair or some place in the backyard where you always go to start this experience. But should we build a launch point, a sort of astral bus station from where we go out there somewhere, or do we just awaken in a new neighborhood every single time? In other words, do you have a place on the other side of the veil that you start out your experiences?
You know, that's an excellent question. Each person is a little different in that regard, and that gets to be incredibly interesting because some people do build a launch point. Some people like the familiar, like that familiar location, and when they leave their body, they will generally find themselves in the same location, at least initially, and then they can center them. I call it centering yourself, because after you leave your body, what I recommend people to do is that they move about at least 8 feet away from their body. Because there's something called, as people call it, the cord activity range, but it's almost like a magnetic force that has a tendency to bring you back to your physical body. And as you get about 8-9 feet out, that is diminished. And then you center yourself by an easy technique that is awareness now. You demand awareness, which brings more consciousness into that energy body that you're now experiencing. And then you will notice immediately, you will feel lighter, your thoughts will be clearer. Any heaviness, or many people have problems with lack of vision or distorted vision initially, and you will eliminate most of the issues of limitations that the beginning students would experience. For instance, especially vision, heaviness, many people have a hard time moving around. And that is when many people will experience the same kind of physical-like duplicate of their physical location. And then from there, that's like a staging ground.
Right,
now,
right.
Everybody's different, though. Some people will be in a field. So there's no rules about this. It's whatever you're comfortable with, you're generally drawn to. I often find myself in a field, a green field, outside of my physical environment, and that's my staging ground. But other people are more comfortable in their own house, so they end up in an energy duplicate of their own house. They're in another dimension, but they're still in that close to their physical location. So each person is different.
Well, that's the thing to keep in mind here, Earth Explorers, is as you step out of your body and you get 8 feet or 8 yards away from your body, don't be surprised if you find yourself, you know, sitting on a park bench in the Rocky Mountains or, you know, floating on a raft in the middle of the ocean or in a cave. Different people have different places that they go as a launch point on the other side.
Absolutely. That's very true. I mean, whatever... Some people, I've talked to many people, for instance, some people are more comfortable in the desert, so they'll find themselves in a desert environment. Some people don't want to have any people around at all, so they find themselves in a very quiet environment where other people feel more comfortable with other people around them. So it really is an individual, because remember, we are creating our reality. subconsciously and consciously when we have an out-of-body experience. And we're often drawn to the environment subconsciously that we will find most acceptable. It's generally a form-based environment, though, because that's what people can relate to.
Well, in a sense, we are creating our own reality, but in another sense, that reality has already been created and experienced. We're just going back to it, or we're going
forward to it. Oh, absolutely.
I talk about an energy event.
Oh, absolutely. I have experienced the same waterfront property that I write about in one of my books on multiple occasions, because it's very distinctive, because the glass is curved. It couldn't be a physical environment, because the windows would be impossible to create the way it's designed. And I know immediately, I know I'm out of body. And that's my little key to myself. And often people do that. This gets to be quite fascinating, because we each do this. We each will build our own safe environment. And many people will experience guides also in the same kind of scenario.
Right, right, yeah.
It's basically the same energy dynamic, whatever you're comfortable with. Many people will experience a child as a guide, or a female, somebody that's non-threatening.
Or a higher
self. A guide may not have any external form, but we're creating the form that will meet our expectations. So that's an interesting aspect of this also that ties right in.
I think we have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from.
Hello, my name is Rob. I'm calling from Danville, Kentucky.
Hey, welcome, Kentucky. Good to hear from you.
Oh, yes, I just wanted to say hi to William, and I wanted to thank him for helping him, even though he didn't know he did it. I was a member of a online forum that he had going on his website, and I met quite a few people that have experienced the same things that I have, that had many questions, wondered, what was going on, with us. And I'm a member of a branch off forum called Project Radiant Light, and we all started there at William Buhlman's forum, and we've been a great support group. Well, a lot of the questions that everybody has about this kind of phenomenon has been answered, and we continue to grow. And I honestly just wanted to give him a thank you for that.
Oh, well, thanks a lot, Rob. I like to make a note of this to the audience. These forums, there's many forums out there. I have them on my website, or some of them. I think I have seven of them linked to my website. The one that Rob is talking about is an excellent forum. It's called Project Radiant Light. There's also what I just refer to as the OBE forum. But these forums are fantastic places for people to, in a very safe way, talk about their experience with other people at Love Like Mind, and where you can get, non-condescending, open-minded response to your deepest questions. And this is really valuable for people.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's amazing how I can't praise the people that run these forums enough, because they're doing a great service. Because I can only be at so many places. And these forums, there's thousands of people participate every day in these forums talking about this subject and sharing experiences. And there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to share, because everybody's experiences are interpreted differently according to the mindset and state of consciousness of the individual. So you can imagine how complex this can become. So there's a lot of fan. I'd highly recommend to all the listeners to check out one of the forums, because they all have their own tone, but they're fantastic meeting places to share your experiences and share techniques, share what works, what doesn't work, and highly recommend them to everyone listening.
Thank you, William, and thank you for what you're doing and what you continue to do. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rob. Wow, fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm going to check out the forums myself.
Yeah, the forums are fascinating. Some of them are quite large, and they're very active. They have they do all kinds of things. I don't actively participate in any of them. I started a couple over the years, but they've been basically there's volunteers that moderate all the forums.
Neat.
And it's just a fantastic, really loving environment where people can share their experiences. I can't recommend it enough. Mm. Also, for those that are listening, since our time's drawing nearer, is that we do have a special going on.
Oh, great.
That's on my website. It's a free product special for anybody that calls 888-426-3917. There's a we're offering a free product on induction for OBE and other products available, audio products, etc., books.
Fantastic. Well, we'll mention that a couple more times before we go off the air. We have just about 30 minutes. William, I can see great potential for emotional growth here. I hear of so many people who sort of sit at home on the porch waiting for life to end without too much pain involved. And I can see that there's a way for the soul to learn, well, to fly without an airplane or something.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned this. You know, one of the things I've discovered from my survey is that as people, this is related directly, especially the people that are getting a little older, and there's a fascinating thing that appears to be happening worldwide. As you get older and approach what we perceive as death, which is nothing more than a transition of consciousness, there is no death, of course.
Right.
At that transition, there is I've been documenting this now for 12 years. There's an increase in spontaneous out-of-body experiences that people will have as they approach this transition. And now this is fascinating because consciousness, soul, is beginning to prepare the individual for the new reality they're about to enter. So what's the most logical way to condition and the soul, the state of consciousness, for this new dimension that they're about to enter at this event that we call death, is that you have to, but to go there. And this is incredible. The amount of letters that I get from people that they may be dying of cancer, for instance, and they begin to have spontaneous out-of-body experiences. They meet their mother. They meet their dead father. They have these vivid communications. They're, you know, of course, this is new to them. They want answers. Well, why am I suddenly meeting my mother and my grandmother? And this is, I think, nature's way of conditioning the soul for this new entry into their new environment, their new home. And this is happening worldwide, and it's normal.
Right.
And very few people ever talk about this. I get a tremendous amount of mail from people, from the not only from the individuals, but from hospice care workers. As a matter of fact, I was going to put an entire chapter in one of my books, but I ran out of the publisher. I was already over the page count. You know how that goes. I was already over the page count by about 50 pages, so I had to cut it. And I was getting dozens of these fascinating letters from people. Now, what the unfortunate part is that it's so new to some of these people, they don't understand what's happening. But just so your listeners know, this is a natural process of our reorientation into this new reality. Because it's just another dimension. It's a physical-like reality that's actually, for most of these people, will experience an Earth-like environment. It's not an airy-fairy, you know, thing that... It's a very much grounded experience. This is all part of the OBE subject that's so fascinating. Because it's a natural event.
I think, though, that what I'm seeing coming out in this is that the unnatural part of soul evolution is what we have been doing to ourselves for the last however much time we've been conscious on this earth. Truncating ourselves down into a three-dimensional being with nothing but pain and paychecks and, you know, all that stuff, that's the unnatural part. The natural part is what William is talking about, the greater dimension of the human soul and the fact that we are an eternally evolving being undergoing a growth process.
Oh, absolutely. Well said. That's exactly it. We are. This is a growth process, and the growth is occurring inwardly. We are evolving inwardly. We're all going. You know what's funny is that now I still get letters of people who are afraid. And you know what's almost, think about it logically. We're all, we have one thing in common. We're all going to have an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, eventually.
And all of us. There's no escaping it. So why don't we learn about it? And, you know, we're all not going to see aliens or spaceships or Bigfoot, but I, God's sake, we're all going to have an out-of-body experience.
Yep.
And there we, and isn't it about time we know what's going on? Isn't it about time? At least I feel it is. I mean, my God, how, it's crazy not to know where we're going. What is this reality we're about to enter? At this, and what is this process of death? What the heck is happening? Because we can't avoid it. Let's learn about it. An OBE, death is nothing but an OBE. It's just the last OBE.
Well,
you just
the
disconnect.
Last OBE for this Social Security number. You know, we may have had many of them, and the idea, if possible, as early as possible in this earth mortal life, is to draw all of the experience that we have had prior to this birth and after this death to this one point, because this planet needs it. It needs your experience right now. We need the luster of what otherwise might be a very black and white life that revolves every 30 minutes on cable news networks. There's more to the world than that.
Right, and there's more than this fear and separation that now dominates a group consciousness. That's the one thing people quickly learn for themselves.
Right.
They realize the illusions that dominate this planet. You begin to see them so clearly. I mean, there's so many, you know, there is no separation. There is no, we're all evolving together. There is, and all of this, and you know, this person, this group's an enemy. You know, that is the worst. There are no enemies. We're all evolving together, for God's sake. And it's unfortunate that there's still so many people that don't understand that. I mean, the most ignorant thing that ever happens in this planet is war. Imagine that. Souls trying to kill each other. My God, that even in the animal kingdom, that's rare.
Right.
That's why this is important. It helps to illuminate people to a greater reality, and so they can get beyond that silliness of, oh, wow, you're different than me, so I don't like you. My God,
right.
It's just the body is not what this any of us are. So to say that, oh, you're from Iraq or Iran, so you're different than me, that becomes such a superficial, it's funny.
Sure.
It's like you have a Chevrolet and I have a Ford, so you're my enemy. I mean,
well,
that's as silly as it is, because they're all vehicles.
Right. No pun intended. The funny thing is that we observe people looking for answers to metaphysical questions in physical places.
Well, see, I think that's one of the greatest mistakes that's been placed upon humanity. We've been taught to believe that the answers are available through rituals and through let's just say physical means. And the truth is simply this: it's not. The answers are found beyond the physical realm, because that's where reality is found. That's where we are heading. That's where we have the potential to go and explore the true reality.
the reality that will last beyond the physical universe even. You know, it's hard, and people don't really get it, that the, you know, the entire physical world and everyone in it is expendable because they're vehicles. And what's even wilder is the thought, all the wars, 100 million people have died due to crazy wars in the last 100 years, approximately. And you know nobody died? It's because soul can't die.
Right.
It just, it did have a traumatic experience, but it continues.
Well,
so the training ground is working, whether we recognize it or not.
Yeah, you brought forth the experience of being a German tank commander. You were killed, and you brought that experience forward with you. It gave you perspective in this life, now.
Yes, and the same is that same goes for all of us, but most people, it's just subconscious. We're all the end result of multiple experiences. I mean, what else could possibly explain even the things like the of Beethoven and Mozart, writing, or, you know, symphonies at age 6. And, you know, there's a reason for that. It's so, to me, it's so clear. We're much more expansive. But more importantly, we can tap into our greater potential. And this is one powerful way to do this. It's not the only way, but it's one powerful way. But you have to have the courage to step out of the box that we talked about earlier. That belief box, the box of that conventional box that we all live in and we try to pretend we don't, but we've all adapted to a consensus reality that's actually quite dysfunctional. We live in a society where no one knows who they are, what they are, where they're going, and where they come from. Think about how that's a classic explanation of insanity. And that's what the group consciousness is. But yet everybody tries to pretend it's normal. Oh, yes, I'm normal. I don't have a clue where I'm going, but I'm normal. It's not. It's up to us to break out of that box and to discover the answers for ourselves.
Well, how many times have you heard people say, well, I'll be happy when I get to take vacation this summer, or I'll be happy when I get rid of this house, or I'll be happy when I retire. I'll be happy when I start spending the money I put in my 401k. And you know what? They're not. Because when they get there, they have no practice at being happy. They don't have a clue.
Yeah, right.
No clue. You know, so, you know, how could a people who can be free any time they wish ever be dominated or captured by three-dimensional means?
Oh, exactly. And that's another thing that really does, it kind of, and again, to tie this together, OBEs do that in a very strong way, because you step out of this conventional thought pattern. You suddenly realize, oh, my God. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. This is, I don't want to sugarcoat this, because this can be a shocking experience. It's such an eye-opener. It's like, oh, my God, I'm not a male. I'm not a father. I'm not any of these roles. I'm not a man. I'm not even a human. I'm soul. I can take any form I need. All the labels that we've placed on ourselves are flawed and distorted. And it's a difficult thing to try to convey, because we compare everything to our current form. What we do. This one's pretty, this one's ugly, this is good, this is bad. None of these labels exist, because soul can take any form it needs. It can achieve anything it wishes. And once we tie into this new paradigm of freedom, I can be anything. I'm a powerful, creative soul. I create my reality, for God's sake. I'm not going to let any external force tell me what I can and cannot do. I create my reality, and I do it now.
Right.
And that is where empowerment begins to take over. And that's why having these experiences allows you to tap into this. The key is to get over that initial fear that people experience because of their lack of information.
Right.
And many people are terrified, and again, I'm not sugarcoating this. A lot of people are afraid of the vibrational state because it is, it's, anybody that's had it out there knows. This is because a powerful experience. Everybody experiences it differently, but it is shocking for many people. And they just don't understand it, and many people begin to block after that. And that's why knowledge is power. Once you understand that this vibrational state is a prelude to a whole shift of consciousness that's essential to our evolution, you begin to embrace it. I love the vibrational state. I court it. I want to experience it. I revel in it because I know that that's when the shift of consciousness is occurring. And just to elaborate, that's all we have to do to end the vibrational state is to focus our attention away from our body. Unfortunately, most people enter a state of unknowing and fear-based philosophy, and they linger in that state. They don't know what to do next. The next step is to focus your attention to the door or the window, but away from your body.
Right.
And as soon as you exit your body, the vibrational state will immediately end, and it's like gliding on ice. Everything becomes still. And that's the critical transfer that people have to learn that I teach in my workshops. Otherwise, wow. you remain in that fear-based state.
Absolutely fascinating. So what about love, William? I mean, what can one do to help themselves love others more by practicing these OBE methods?
Well, I think once you realize that you're not a body, you're not this animal form, you begin to understand your own potential and you understand your connection to others. And that's what's important. You no longer see the separation. When you look at other people, you understand that they're not separate entities. They're part of you. And that's when this feeling, I think, really begins to expand.
So then the key is to learn how to love yourself more.
Right. The more, yeah, absolutely.
We have another caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from.
Well, my name is William also, and I'm from Virginia Beach.
Welcome to the program.
I'm just wondering, with an OBE, I've had many, I'm wondering what exactly does leave your body? Essence, soul, your energy, I mean, what really leaves the body, since we're just a vehicle?
That's a good question.
That's a very good question. For most people, there's different terms for this. It's not your soul as such. We're multidimensional beings. We are currently operating multiple energy bodies, and the physical body is just the epidermis, the densest one. Generally, it's our second energy body that leaves. I call it the second. Many people call it the etheric or the astral body, the denser aspect. That is what leaves the physical normally for most people because it's a form-based body. It's the densest energy body that actually leaves the physical. And in that body can function, we function at just like it does in the physical, except you have more capabilities. I mean, you have the capabilities that you accept. You're no longer limited by gravity, for instance. If you want to fly, you can fly. But that's essentially the body. That's why many people call this astral projection. Some people call it etheric projection. But remember, we have multiple energy bodies. And the universe is multi-dimensional.
So you're saying part of our, like portions of our soul or spirit or essence goes, not the full, but just parts of it.
Yes. Because remember, only part of you is inhabiting or using this body now. Soul is always remains at the soul level. Soul is not, there's no evidence to support this idea that soul is in your body at all. It's operating a vehicle. Follow me? I mean, I'm just trying to use an analogy.
I've heard of higher self.
Well, I perceive the higher self to be a higher aspect of our mind, for instance. Some people use it as a soul. It's, everybody's reference points may be a little different. I use the term higher self to designate a higher aspect of myself. Matter of fact, I have techniques I teach where people go to their higher self, experience their higher self.
Well, I've heard of David Wilcock has done that before. He's got.
I don't know much about him.
Okay, well, he was talking one time about him going to, like, he had an OBE, but he went into an entire, like, another planet, talked to aliens, things like that, you know, has happened in the... And it's just like, I mean, that's, I think, would be astral with an OBE, I guess. Or is astral and OBE the same or somewhat different?
Yes. We covered this earlier. In today's reference point, yes, they generally are combined and mean the same. Years ago, it may have been different. OBE is like a more modern term for the same concept of an energy body, of us using of energy body separate from our physical body.
William, I was going to ask you, William, if you think this is the one in Virginia Beach, the out-of-body experiences that you have had, have they been just traveling around this world, or have they been in other times or other lives? What has been
your
experience?
It's all of the above. There's no limit. I have had experience in other worlds, many different other dimensions of reality. Some of them that are form-based, most of them are form-based, but others that aren't. I've experienced many different past events in my own timeline, one of them being the German soldier that I shared, but many others, Roman lifetimes, many, many lifetimes in that era.
Do you think these energy bodies can be captured on film? You think the digital photography of today is capturing energy?
No, I don't think it's capable of doing it. I really don't. Maybe in the future sometime, but right now it's not sensitive enough.
Okay.
I don't think it's capable. Maybe 10 years from now.
What was your question?
Nobody that's had an OBE, you can't figure out, like, if someone really is having one or not. Like, put in, you know, like a lab or an actual, like, you know how they do dream labs where they actually record a person, but there's no way you can confirm if a person is having an OBE, right?
It's a very difficult process. There has been limited success in people, for instance, we talked about this in the first hour, about an individual who impacted physical objects and there's been an incident where someone read a four-digit card, but they're very, very limited, mostly because when you leave your body, you're entering another dimension of reality, and that is, you're no longer in the physical world, and that's the thing a lot of people don't quite understand. And this world is a parallel world. When you leave your body, there's multiple dimensions of reality. And as you prolong your experience, there's a tendency to move inward within the universe. And you will literally experience multiple dimensions within yourself. And that's why this gets a little bit involved. I write about an experience where I experienced three energy bodies in one experience. And each one had a different, unique feel because I was trying to experiment with myself. Like, what does my energy bodies look like? How do they function? I was trying to do that to the best of my ability. For instance, if you stare at your hand, it will begin to melt because your hand is not it's a mental construct. It's not a form-based object as such. So all in other words, the rules of reality change as you go inward. And that's one of the things I write about in my books because it becomes pretty pretty exciting.
Well, let me ask you a question. As you gain this experience, as your soul evolves with this experience consolidated into the now, can you change your physical appearance? In this life, does your physical body actually change as you apply that total energy as opposed to a partial energy to your physical body?
I think it can. I think it potentially can. There's been many stories of healing, for instance, that people have done while out of body. I talk about this in great detail in my workshops about shamans who leave their body and provide healing. This has been well documented. I mean, the oldest healing techniques are 5,000 years old, come from the shaman. And what is a shaman? The term shaman means between two worlds from the Targus and from the old ancient tongue. And I've had many experiences with shaman. They're trained, many of them, especially the Spanish shaman in Peru and South America, they're trained to leave their body at a very young age. Now, granted, some of them use hallucinogens to help initiate it, but that's part of their training. That's why Buddhists select very young boys, and the shamans select apprentices of a very young age, so they start to train them before they're conditioned by society.
Right, before they turn too rational to be able to figure it
exactly.
out.
Exactly. They become too ingrained in the form-based reality, and they're no longer effective.
Do we necessarily incarnate from past to future, or do you think we can incarnate from the future back?
I don't think the timeline works that way at all. I don't. For one thing, there is no time. I think we use the timeline, if you want to call it that, as a tool. In other words, you and I could next incarnate into Rome if that was an effective location. I know our mind can't grasp this, but it makes sense when you're out of body. It's difficult to explain it. But used the energy signatures, because that's what an event is, an energy signature. We use this energy signature to our benefit, to gain a certain attribute of soul. So maybe being a gladiator in Rome may give us some attribute we need. That's how I've experienced it, and even though it logically makes no sense.
Well, there's some historical, at least, pattern, hence Beethoven, Mozart, Tesla, Leonardo da Vinci, obviously people that saw and learned things in greater detail and form and practice than was possible in the time they actually lived their Earth life.
Yeah, and they're all good examples. Yeah, Tesla is an excellent example. He may have been incarnate. I mean, just it's hypothetically, why the man may have had 10 lives in the future.
Exactly.
And then had a life in that era and brought back that information. Now, he didn't even know that he was doing it.
That means the future already happened. He already experienced it and died and came back in the past and lived another life. Wow.
Exactly. I mean, it sounds crazy, but why not? If time doesn't exist, then why can't we explore the timeline in a very fluid manner?
Wow. Why can't we stop the clock? Are you still there, William, in Virginia Beach? You got a question?
I was going to say one more thing. NDE and OBE, I feel that they're pretty much the same.
Well, there's actually quite a difference. And NDE is a near-death experience. That is the temporary death of the physical body. This is really the most significant difference. In other words, your heart may stop for like 2-3 minutes. During an OBE, there's no physical death involved. An OBE is the separation of consciousness without the physical death. And that's a pretty dramatic difference if you're the participant.
it's like the difference between ascension and resurrection.
I'm just saying the odds of this happening is really like far to none. But just imagine someone having an OBE and then dying. That would really suck.
Yeah, you wouldn't be there to talk about it, that's for sure.
That's the Shirley MacLaine syndrome. You go too far and snap the silver cord.
Believe me, I have tried not to come back. I can tell you this. I have tried. We're connected to our physical body.
Yep.
There is such blissful state you can enter, you will not want to come back. I can tell you this for a fact. So this idea, I know it's on the internet, that people, it's dangerous to have an OBE. That is baloney.
Yeah.
I've had several times where I was in such a state, in such a great place, I did not want to return to the physical body.
That's
and
more like
I did. So,
falling off a cliff in your dream and hitting the bottom and dying. Now, who lived to tell that story?
Yeah, this is a serious subject for many people, because that's one of the fear-based rumors that flood the internet, is that, oh, you're going to die, somebody's going to possess you. There's so many fear-based philosophies that dominate the internet, and they're all bogus. Any fear-based belief system I've found to be flawed and false. The universe is a very positive, wonderful, evolving place. And it's unfortunate
there's self-destruct.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. This is a magnificent, evolving training ground. And we're immortal, for God's sake. I mean, think about it. We're immortal as soul. For God, you know, so all these fears are totally, totally flawed. Created by men. To manipulate the masses, because fear works. Give me money or you're going to go to hell. That works. It has for thousands of years.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it's all bogus. Or fortunately, depending on how you look at it.
Well, we are out of time. Both Williams. We are out of time with X Squared Radio. And William and Virginia Peach, thank you so much for calling. Call again, please, another time. William Buhlman, special offer. You have 888-426-3917. There are free items there. If you will go call that number or go to the website at astralinfo.org.
Yes.
And he has a workshop coming up in Maine. So
yes, in 2 weeks, the workshop in Maine, which is going to be, I did it last year, it was a fantastic event.
Fantastic. William, again, thank you so much for coming on the program. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. And as usual, we will run completely out of time before we finish talking about it. I'll fix the links, and this will be live in about an hour and a half.
Great. And it was my pleasure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I may catch up with you in Italy. That sounds like a really neat experience.
Yeah, that'll be in October.
Excellent. That's just about the right timeline for me. This project's just about wrapped up. I need a break. All right, William. Have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you another time.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, Earth Explorers, that is it for X Squared Radio, September 7th, 2008.
It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.